What up, what up, what up? Welcome back to the Bad Podcast, Brad and Wayne. In here with my brother Brad. Brad, what you doing, man? What are we talking about today?
We're going to talk about fears. So I got a quote from Carrie Fisher. She played in Star Wars. Stay afraid, but do it anyway. What's important is the action. You don't have to wait to be confident. Just do it, and eventually the confidence will follow.
I like that, man. Let's get it. No fear.
Are you ready? Are you ready?
What up, what up, what up? Welcome back, Bad Podcast, Brad and Wayne. We in here, man. What it do, what it be like, what it look like. We got a special guest today. Before we get into the special guest, want to let you know that this podcast is brought to you by E2M Kitchen. Make sure you go to E2MKitchen.com, pick you up some meals, man. We got coming up when you hear this, actually Black Friday is coming, and there's a lot of sales, not just in E2M, also in Premium 2.0. Also the apparel, Triple E has our apparel. They're doing running the sale. So make sure you check out all things E2M this week, because we're running with the Black Friday sales, even into the Cyber Monday. So go to E2MFitness.com. Follow us on social media so you can get all the deals that are coming up. So now that we pay the bills, Brad, man, who we got with us, man? What we got going on?
Big E, man. First and foremost, I have to go all
the way back because he's frozen. That's a long haul. He's still frozen.
Am I frozen
there
now?
There you go. Now you're back, brother.
Man, go back and say sorry, because I thought we had you on the pod at one point, but apparently not. So this is our man, Eric. And Eric, introduce yourselves. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hey, I'm Eric Shelton. I'm most known now as Mr. Premium, or the program director for E2M Premium. But before that, most people know me in the bodybuilding world of winning a few championships over there. But just a small home kid from Fayetteville, North Carolina, that found a living and now, like I said, work for E2M Premium.
Wait a minute. You guys are from the same town?
He's from Fayetteville. I'm from the country outside of Fayetteville. So he's from Buffalo and I'm from Jamestown. Just perspective there.
Okay. That makes sense. That makes sense. All right. So, yeah, man. The first
thing. Dang, Brad. What's going on at your crib, man? You're frozen again. And it's a cute face. Make sure y'all screenshot. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead, Brad.
I just love my internet.
Yeah, man, got to.
Unreal. How'd you get started in fitness?
So it's actually I'm gonna make it a very brief story, but it's a longer story. But basically, I always played baseball. I was always like really good in baseball. Really never cared for fitness, to be honest. I was the small, stringy kid, and I was also kind of like not rebellious, but kind of slightly rebellious against lifting weights when I was younger, because I was like top of the county, top of my division in baseball. My coach was like, you need to lift weights. And I was like, nah, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I'm good. So I was just like, it didn't make sense to me at that time. But then, long story short, I had decided to play basketball after the baseball season, which was very restricted for a few players in my high school. As soon as the season was over, I'm like, yo, I'm gonna go play basketball, you know, in gym class. First day out, fall on the side of my ankle, fracture it, and then I have to go through like rehab recuperation. So I went more of an untraditional route. I actually hired a personal trainer instead of a physical therapist, which probably isn't the smart thing to do. That's when I fell in love with fitness. Like the people I met from there, I'm still cool with them to this day. The guy actually rehabbed me back, helped me with my lateral mobility. I started lifting weights ever since that day. Like even my senior project in high school was on personal training. And then my internship for college actually was at a baseball facility where we worked on running biomechanics, personal training, and just overall helping baseball, football, and basketball players get healthier for the next level.
Yeah, you know, I can relate to that, man. You know, sometimes when you're gifted, right? You're gifted, it's just you get content and you're like, man, I'm already good at this. I don't need that extra. But as you age, you start to gain that knowledge. You get a little wiser as you age. And the older you get, and you're like, man, if I could go back. So if there's any young bucks out there watching right now, don't look back and say, what if, man, get after those weights, because those weights could be that missing component from you being really good to like phenomenal. Now you mentioned. Oh, sorry, D.
No, I was going to jump in right here before you turn that curve, man. Because I remember when I played basketball. You know, it seemed like every time I lift weights, my shot will be off. Like, you know how you do gym, and you're like, man, this messing up my shot. So I was ready to quit. I was like, I ain't lifting no weight. But the defining factor for me was that year that Michael Jordan really went hard in the weights and came back. So then I was like, oh, okay. Michael Jordan do it, you know. But just relating that whole idea of, you know, thinking it's messing you up, not knowing that it's actually a long-term benefit. So go ahead, B.
No, I remember, briefly, very little about when MJ did that, but, you know, watching the Last Dance, it gave me some perspective, because I always thought too, like, man, if I'm going to lift weights, it's going to mess with my basketball shot. It's going to mess with how I throw. It's going to mess with how I do anything. And I honestly think that's something that we build up in our own minds, right? I think that's something that we build up, because like, later, man, in my 20s, I would always lift before basketball, and it was only 3-on-3, but I'd go out there and I'd dominate after lifting, you know, get the blood flowing a little bit. But I think that's just that's just something we build up in our own minds. But what I was going to say is, you mentioned championships. Let's talk about some championships. Let's talk about how you got to the grandest of stages and where you're at today.
Yeah, so I actually started bodybuilding back in 2016 or 17. And I kind of had like a fast start. Like, I think I competed in Untested Federation first, competing fully 100% natural. So kind of competing at a disadvantage. So then I found an organization called the OCB, where I immediately like went pro. And the one thing against competing naturals, and I coach naturals, and I always tell people, like, going past that is genetics and hard work that goes along with it. Of course, it's following your routine, following your diet, but then genetics and how hard you work will take you far. I never really knew what genetics looked like or good genetics looked like. I just had people telling me that, and apparently they saw it in me when I didn't see it, right? And usually that's how all journeys is. Somebody sees something in you before you see it. But then I started competing, and I think immediately went pro at my first amateur show at an actual competition. And then I think the first year, of course, the initial, hey, I went pro, I'm ready for the next step, or I'm ready for the next level, and not really knowing what that looks like. That year I got, I think, 5th and 7th at my two first pro shows, which isn't horrible out of the field that I competed against. I think one was against 30 and then another one was against maybe 12. But then getting underneath the right guidance, getting underneath the right mentorship, my very next show, I was dedicated to like, hey, I'm going to do better. So my next coach, we ended up going into our next show and placing 2nd at the world's biggest, or not our world's biggest show that year. But then, I think after that, the following year, I did a lot of shows. I think that was 2021, and I ended up going on like a 4-show winning streak of shows. And then the last two shows, I kind of like doled out. But then for me, my competition history at the biggest shows, I think I got 7th, 2nd, 2nd, and then I finally got 1st in my 5th year. So long story short, I always fought for the championships, and then, like I said, just continuously showing up for myself and for my coaches. So.
Do you still have that mindset today where, I'm not going to say underdog, but do you have the mindset of you have something to prove?
100%. I think every time I step on stage, I have something to prove. And it's not even just for myself, but it's for, like I said, I have a team that I coach. And not to kind of toot my own horn, but I'm one of the main coaches who can compete at the highest level and coach at the highest level. I have athletes who's competing and winning pro shows, and I compete as well. This is probably the first time I ever said this on the podcast, but my biggest goal is to sweep a show, as a coach with 2 athletes. I want it to be the winner's circle, 3 people on stage, all representing my team or Eagle of Strength. So, that's really big for me. So I feel like I'm always the underdog. People always look for me and be like, oh, he's going to win the show, or he's going to do this. But at the end of the day, I have to prove that to myself. So I think once you feel like you can't be beat or you're unbeatable, then that's when everything starts happening bad to you.
My. I have a story real quick. So back to my senior year, we're talking about basketball, right? And so my basketball team was ranked number 2 in the state. and we played a nobody in the first round of playoffs. We had a bye, so it was actually the second round of playoffs. It was our first round, and we had a nobody come into our house, and I'll never forget this. One of the better players on the team that we were playing against, his dad walked up to me, and he said, "Hey, take it easy against us tonight." And to this day, I ain't going to say it's the reason we lost, but to this day, I always look back at that moment because I was like, yeah, we'll take it easy on you. You know, we're the upper hand. We'll take it easy on you. And I always say that to my opponents now, like, hey, take it easy on me, because I kind of want that underdog feeling, right? I want to have that underdog feeling in everything that I do. But man, you talk about the trifecta, or the three people up on the stage, man, that excites me, because you got a client right here on the screen with us. D. Tell us about this egoless strength.
Well, man, look, that's E, man. That's E thing right there, man. I'll let him talk about what inspired, man, you to jump into coaching. I know, you know, you had some you know, some background in you know, getting physique. I'm not physique, but getting physically ready with the baseball and everything. What inspired you to become an actual coach and not just an athlete?
I think the reason I became a coach, the main reason I became a coach, was because I'm on my third coach. And usually people will say, hey, with the plan, it's like, hey, is it the plan or is it the coach, right? Mm-hmm. And I went through things with each and every one of my coaches, and then now I have coaches that I've been with for probably 4, maybe 5 years now. And my main goal to myself when I became like a coach and really started dedicating more and more time to it was because I never wanted any athlete to go through what I went through with my two previous coaches. So basically trying to leave the game better than what it was when I came in. So that's my main mindset, because I always hope that if I have an athlete, then they start and end their career with me. But I also encourage people like, hey, if I'm not getting you to where you want to be and you feel like there's better, then I always encourage that as well. Because we all know there's not one person or no trainer that can get everybody fit. There's not one food that's going to make everybody fit. So just like me, there's not one, like I may not be it for everybody. But what I am building and what Eagle is trying to standing on is, you know, kind of like a brotherhood, a team, where like Dwayne would tell you, like, he probably had 20 people messaging him about his show. And that's the climate and that's the family that I'm trying to build with the team. And it helps me, right? It keeps me on my toes. Like, I compete against my athletes. So it's like, hey, if I know I'm doing everything to get you ready, then I better be getting ready too. So it holds me accountable, man.
I love that, man.
Yeah, no competition here, brother. I did legs with him on Wednesday, and no thank you. Look, I'll take that fourth or fifth trophy when we sweep. I gladly take that joint. Let me win my class. I think I'm right around that 5'11" class. Let me win that. I'm good.
That's good, man. I like you know, you talk about this brotherhood, because I feel like fitness is a brotherhood, sisterhood. It's a family demographic, or it's a family family atmosphere is what I was looking for. And you're building this brotherhood through egoless strength. You know, you talk about that accountability factor. What's your biggest accountability? Is it your athletes? Is it yourself? Is it, you know, a bigger motive or a bigger purpose? What's that why that you attach yourself to that holds you accountable?
I mean, there's a lot. There's a lot in bodybuilding. There's a lot. Like, I think the biggest reason for me is, I mean, honestly, whenever I step on stage, I'm not only a product of my brand, I'm a product of my coach's brand. So I'm standing for more stuff than just myself, but also I don't want to get up there and, you know, look foolish, right? So I think with that being said, it's like I'm a representation of more than just myself, and I take that everywhere. Like when I speak publicly, when I speak on our podcast, like even if something may come off wrong or something, like I try to clean it up or address it with the person that I may have read wrong, just because, like I said, now you're a walking brand, right? So people's going to remember, like, whatever Eagle of Strength. And one of my athletes act out on stage just a representation of Eagle of Strength. It's like, oh, he got to be all right with that too. So I can't tell people how to conduct themselves or tell people to follow a plan if I can't. So now that I stand for more than just myself, that's what keeps me most accountable.
Self-accountability. There ain't no better accountability than looking in the mirror, man, and saying, it's sure. It's go time. You know,
for sure. So I want to you know, kind of digging into, you gave us the premise of where egoless came from, even with the name, man. Because you think about bodybuilding and you think about, you know, there's a lot of ego involved, you know, and there's it's And it's funny, you said it one time, you know, a show is kind of like a pageant, you know, it's like a men's you know, beauty contest type thing, man. So what is the premise or the mindset behind Ego-less? Like, where does that come from?
I came up with this name a long time ago. It was like 2019, and it originally just started off with like, how can I make a play with my initials, right? Like ES, what can I make a play with my initials, right? So that's the basis of it. But then also 2019 was the year I actually got my new coaches. It's like when you, I think at that moment was the moment where I kept losing and I was just like, yo, what's going on, right? You think you knew what it took to be great, and you just can't figure out why, right? And I think it's even a mindset that I think Jeff talks about a lot about collaboration, right? And it's not staying in a box and thinking you're going to make it by yourself. So I think Ego-less strength came from, one, me dropping my ego, like, hey, I need help. I got to figure out who can help me. I got to figure out who can mentor me and who can push me to the next level. And then tying that with strength, like, okay, once I drop my ego and go to somebody, get that mentorship, then strength comes. So Ego-less strength.
I like it.
I like that a lot. And man, you know, you place your pride on sort of like the side burner, like you are, like, that's how you get to the top. You know, you can't hold on to your pride and say, you know, I'm not going to get that assistance. I'm not going to get that coaching, because it's oftentimes that coaching that takes you to that next level. And you see it in pro sports all the time. You know, the best of the best don't go anywhere sometimes because they don't have the proper guidance. Or, you know, you for an example, like you started this journey. Obviously we know what you are today, but you rewind time 10 years ago or whatever, you got started and you couldn't get to the top. Well, put your pride aside and take that proper assistance, that proper guidance that's going to propel you into, you know, who you are today, man. And you got the hat that says the takeover, and here we are just taking over, man. And I got a story. First time I ever met E, man, I walk into the studio, the lights are off, the lights are shining on this guy. He's in these short shorts, no shirt. And I'm like, whoa, no shoes, no shirt, no problem, man. I didn't know.
I was there that day.
Were you?
Yeah. Yeah. I was, because me and you kept like, dang, but we got to tighten up. We kept looking at each other. Weren't you getting ready for a show that weekend, E? Was that? What was that?
I was getting ready for the Windy City, the show that I won at. I think it was like a week after. And that was the year I went and won the Yorton. So, yeah.
Yep, yeah, we was nudging each other like, boy, you gotta tighten up.
Yeah, hey, stop eating those KRF bars, man. That's I got a box of KRF bars here. They sent me a box after the fact. I'm like, man, right near my office, right near.
Why they do that, man?
Set me up for failure.
set you up. So look, I want to dive into this, man, because your quote, it reminded me of something, you know, about even though you're afraid, still doing something, you know, E, you know, I know you're not the upfront showman guy, but when you stepping on stage in front of folks, like I am, like I can get on stage and talk to anybody, but when I came out on my first show, I was shaking like a leaf that first time out, man. So talk about, you know, being afraid, but still getting the job done. Cause you can work out in the gym all day. It's dark. Nobody will see your head, hoodie on, you know, but stepping on that stage, man, talk about just what goes through your mind and how do you kind of overcome it and find comfort in that fear?
Yeah. And I think the one thing that a lot of people don't know, like, I know we joke and be like, I'm a man of few words, but like, I'm like one of the shyest guys possible. Like, and people be like, no, like I have to really work a room to really get like, actually start talking. Like, I'm pretty sure I've probably seen Brad four times before I spoke, like really actually spoke. So I think with me, I had to find my space, right? And going to the background of baseball, like it's scary stepping up into the batter box every time, but you got to have a certain confidence within yourself, right? If anybody sees any of my posing routines, that's probably the most fearful I am, just because I'm up there by myself. But when I'm in the lineup, oh no, it's all of us. Like, I have like the most confidence once you put me next to people. That's where I feel comfortable. So it's almost finding your comfort within where you're fearful at, right? And then even with bodybuilding, I had to literally talk myself into getting into it, like actually diving deep and figuring out everything about bodybuilding and learning it. So I think there's a certain type of confidence that overcomes fear once you're prepared. So when I feel like I'm truly prepared for a show, I really have no fear going into the show. Like there's always still, I think it was a quote, and I know Brad is the quote guy, but I think someone said, like, if you don't have any fear or any butterflies before doing something big, then it's not big enough. So I think even before every show, no matter the smallest or biggest show, I always get the little butterflies. But as soon as the lights come on and you put me next to the next guy, it's almost like, hey, fight or flight. And 9 times out of 10, I'm going to fight. So,
man, I'm getting pumped up over here now. I'm flashing lights, man. I'm ready to start training for a physique show now.
Come on, ready,
baby. Oh, that's good stuff, though.
Good stuff, man. B, you got anything else before we transition into the common word of the week, or the section of the end? You got anything else you want to?
No, I was going to ask you, you know, so if I'm if I am training for a physique show, what's the best way I get a hold of you?
So the best way to reach me, I actually have a website, eagleofstrength.com. I'm also on all social media platforms, Facebook, Eric Shelton, and I actually have a Eagle of Strength Instagram page, as well as my personal page, E_Shelton.
Sweet. All right, brother. We're going to transition to the do you know or did you know moment. This is a question we ask all of our guests. We always put a disclaimer in that, you know, we don't want you to incriminate yourself, but we also want to know something that you may not have said publicly, something that people might not know about you, something that they wouldn't know that you did. Or we had people, you know, tell us they had an extra toe and people that broke their back, and a bunch of piano players and violinists and all kind of stuff, man. So it could be anything, anywhere, whatever. So I'm gonna play this video. The video is short. As soon as it's over, be ready with your do you know or did you know moment right after this.
Do you know?
Video is over. What is the do you know or did you know moment about you, brother?
I thought I had like 10 seconds. Good.
Nope. We kill him with that one.
I think the one thing that keeps popping to my mind, I don't think I ever said this or spoke out about it. I may have posted it a long time ago, but like I said, for anybody who don't know me, I'm the youngest of 4 siblings. I have all older sisters, but my biggest driving force that I can say is she's my youngest sister, but she's older than me. She actually has cerebral palsy. She has cerebral palsy from since she was born. And that's like my biggest driving force for, you know, a lot of the things I do. Like just knowing that a lot of people are upset about, you know, having to do certain things, whether it's working out, whether it's working, whatever the challenge is, right? But certain people don't have those opportunities to go and do those things. So even when I played sports, even like now in bodybuilding, even when I work, it's like, since I'm capable and able to do all these things, I'm going to do these things just because everyone doesn't have that opportunity to excel at all these other things that I like to do. So yeah, that's the biggest thing.
Nice. Yeah,
that's cool, man.
That is. You went heartfelt on yours. I see. I got
feels.
He went for the feels on it, man. I ain't mad at it. That's a good one.
Toes, you know, I don't have no extra toes. That would have been the best thing. I would have put them in the camera if I did, but I don't.
Nah, that's dope, man. We appreciate you coming on, E. And see, I'm not apologizing for not having you on, because I'm not in charge of who comes on. So that's all Brad. So if you've been wanting to get on and you was wondering why nobody's called me, just blame Brad, because he that's his job. I do the technology, he get the guests.
I just thought I wasn't big enough. So that's the oh, that's okay. We just get that. They had David, they got Jamal, they just skipped over me.
That's 100% on me. That's on my shoulders.
Yeah, man. That is true. I forgot about David. David's on the team, man. Man, we did you dirty, man. You just put Brad in the headlock next time you see him. We call it even.
Not too big of a headlock, man. I tell my kid, just a little bit. Just a little bit.
I love it, man. So now, look, now now you got to have Brad on your show. Let's talk about it with you and Jamal. Like, hey, guys, we're going to switch it up this week. Now, Bobby, we're going to talk about running.
Yeah, I'll bring my A game, and if I don't have my A game, I'll bring my B game.
There you go.
That's all we need.
Good stuff, man. Good stuff. No, it's always fun, you know, connecting. You know, you three guys are both influential in my life, man, and always it's great that we can have these conversations and bring it to the folks. I know they're going to enjoy it, especially the premium folks. There's a lot of premium folks that are listening, and you know, I always make jokes about, you know, Eric, you know, getting on my nerves and giving me hard stuff. It's all true. Just so y'all know, it is all true. He's here to confirm that. Just like on last week when y'all were listening to this, he tried to kill me with legs, but it wasn't too bad. But we both were like walking like deer. So just want to put that all out there, man, because I know a lot of people, you know, they see the workout, they see the man, but this is the man when he's not barking orders or getting you guys to what are you getting them to do on Friday? I don't know. This last round, give it your best, whatever. This isn't that guy. This is him at home chilling, you know, really relaxed, getting the backstory, getting the feels, man. So I hope you guys enjoyed it, man. So, all right, B, close us out, my brother.
Hey, man, if you fear it, chase it. There's no better way to rid fear than chasing it.
I like it, man. Hey, you got anything? I put you on the spot.
But if fear chases us, run. But nah. I don't have any.
I know. That's why I did that, man. All right, y'all. All right.